We just pray, Father, that as we go into this coming week, when the difficult times come in our lives, we may just be still and we may know that you are God, and that we may learn to trust you in a new way, that we may just feel your presence with us, and that you will just hide us in yourself, and so that we may be strong in you. Because we know that by ourselves we are so weak and we fail you so often. But Lord, we just pray that you will keep us strong in yourself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we'll leave the next one out because time's going. And I think they've had enough of me already. But there we are. Let me just have a little drink. Before I start, my subject this morning, I don't know how far we're going to get, is making disciples, okay? That's what I was asked to speak on, and I quite enjoy being told what to speak on, because it makes me study, and it makes me look at things where, you know, it's very easy as lay preachers to get into a sort of habit and just, you know, preach the things that are easy for you to preach on. But every now and then, you know, you get a church like Abbotsham and Rownsville, and they always say, this is what we're working through. Will you please? And it's good for me, and I enjoy doing it. And as I say, this morning, it's making disciples. And I thought, well, which angle shall I go for when we look at this? And then I thought myself, well, I know Abbotsham people, and they would give me a little bit of license. And I thought to myself, well, I want to imagine that Jesus is having a conversation with his Father, okay? Now, he did, actually, have lots of conversations, because if you read the Gospels, you find these words, and Jesus withdrew to pray. You know, well, when he withdrew, or he spent time in prayer. And when he did spend time in prayer, what did he do? He talked with his Heavenly Father. And it'd been quite interesting to listen to the discussion, because, you know, the Father might have said to him, well, I want you to go to a little village because there's a girl, it's just died. And her father's called Jairus. And I'd like you to go and I'd like you to bring Jairus' daughter back to life. And then he would say to them, there's a deaf man somewhere. And I want you to go and heal him. And I just thought to myself, I can imagine the Father saying to Jesus, now, your work on earth is finished. You've done what you've come for. And now you're going to come back home with me. Now, what we have to be concerned about is, who's going to carry on the work? And I can imagine Jesus saying, well, you know, I chose 12 to do it, to be my disciples. And one of them, of course, you know what happened to him. So I've only got 11, but in a few weeks' time, we're going to make up to 12 again. These are the people who are going to carry on my work. And they are going to go and make more disciples. And they are going to go and make more disciples. And it's going to go on like that, year after year, until there's a little congregation at a place called Abbotsham who meet Sunday by Sunday, and they are going to go and make disciples of other people. Incredible, isn't it? But that's what it's all about. What a challenge for us this morning. These scriptures that we read are a real challenge to us. Go and make disciples. So, this is the scripture for today. Now, what does the word disciple mean? Well, it just simply means a student or a learner or a follower of a teacher. You know, you can be a disciple of anything. Is there anybody here old enough, or should I say young enough, to remember the Beatles? Everybody remembers the Beatles, don't they? Good gracious me, yes. Do you remember they went to India and they became disciples of a man called Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, okay? And they used to go off to India and he used to give them teaching and they became his disciples. And a lot of people in the pop scene went there. And I was watching a program on television only a few weeks ago about it. And it was saying, you know, how people went there and they spent time with this man who was supposed to be some great teacher and he would teach them all sorts of things. So you can be a disciple of anybody. A disciple. Okay? Now, when Jesus came, he came with an express purpose, didn't he? And he came to fulfill the law of Moses. And he came to fulfill the writings of the prophets. That's what he came for. And when he accomplished this, he returned back home. And then you read in the book of Acts that the disciples came. His disciples, people who had followed his teachings, people who had listened to what he said, had taken on board of all the things, they took on the job of spreading the gospel. And they came to one place called Antioch. And the people were so impressed with them that they called them Christians. You see, they were disciples first. And then they were called Christians after, because they followed the teachings of Jesus. Now, you have to be very careful, because sometimes people and preachers, and I hope I've never given this impression, but, you know, you become a Christian, then a little bit later in your life, or a little bit when you've grown a bit, you become a disciple. You know, it's a second stage. But there's nothing like that in the scriptures. When you become a Christian, when you follow the teachings of Jesus, you become a disciple. So, this morning, if you say, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a follower of his teachings, then you are a disciple. And you have the responsibility of making other disciples, following the teachings of Jesus, leading other people to follow the teachings of Jesus. So important. Now, there is a bonus at the end, and I'll tell you what the bonus is later on. So, have you got the message? So far this morning, all you folk here at Abbotsham who love the Lord Jesus, you've accepted him into your life, you're following him, you're following his teachings, you are a disciple. The Bible says here, now go and make others. This part of the scriptures is called the Great Commission. Okay, and it's a great commission for all of us to go out and to make disciples. Now, looking at this scripture, and if you've got your Bibles open, one of the words which seems to jump out is this. Therefore, go. Okay, that's the word, go. It's the most important word. It's, all scripture is important. This is an important word here. Go. You have to go. You have to do it. You have to get up and move. It's a command. This is what Jesus said. Go. What was it Jesus said to Mary Magdalene when she met him in the garden? Do you remember that? Last Sunday, I don't know if you looked at it, but in the first, when it was in the garden, on that first day of week, Mary found Jesus, didn't she? And she said, Lord, Master. And he said, Mary. And she wanted to hold on to him, you know? And he said, no. Go. Go and tell the disciples. The other disciples. My brethren, he calls them. Go and tell my brethren. Now, it's nothing. Some people think when they say, read that, you know, Jesus said, don't touch me, don't hold on to me because I haven't ascended into my to my heavenly Father. They think it's some ghostly figure, you know. You mustn't. But it's not. All he's saying to her is, Mary, don't hold on to me. You have a job to do. Go. Go and tell my brethren that I'm alive. You see? And that's what we have to do, is go. You know, I got time, yeah, to tell you a story. I usually do tell lots of stories. But how many of you remember that old song, I Come to the Garden Alone? And the chorus goes, and he walks with me, and he talks with... Yeah, you know it? I knew you wanted me to sing, so that's why I did it. Well, Tony Campolo, who's a great preacher, he told us this story. And he said that he used to go to... When he was young, he used to go to a little church. And before the service, they used to have a little bit of community hymn singing. They used to years ago, didn't they? You know, you get there 10 minutes early and you'd have some community hymn singing. And he said, there was always, there was this old lady who was always there. And every week, she would choose this song. And he said, as a young person, it started to grate on me a bit, you know? Because every week she would choose a song. And he said, we used to have to sing it and... for her. And anyhow, he said, when he got older and he became more mature, he looked at the song. And it says in the this song, these words, I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling. But he bids me go. He bids me go. Go out and witness. You see? And that's what it is. I love being a Christian here this morning, don't you? It's lovely with you folk. Because you all like me, I hope. You know? And it's easy for me to be a Christian here. It's easy. I feel comfortable. It's warm. I'm in my comfort zone. But Jesus is saying, you can't stay here. Go. Tomorrow morning, out into the world. Yeah? And make disciples. And make disciples. Go out into the coming week and witness that Jesus is alive. Go out and tell people. And you can do it in a simple way, you know. You don't have to be a great preacher. You don't have to embarrass people. I got a little story. I thought of this in bed this morning. when I'm out preaching, I always take my notes to bed with me in the evening and then wake up in the morning and lay there and read and just think about it. And Carol and myself were in the garden this week. And a friend walked past with her husband and stopped and talked to us. Now, I known this person. She was, I've got to be careful what I say here because Jean's here, but she was an Appledore girl. And she used to come to Appledore Baptist, her family did. When I used to help run the youth club there, she was always there. And I got a feeling she got married in the church. And anyhow, she was walking past and I stopped and I had a chat with her and I said to her, how are you? And we got the conversation. And I said to, I nearly said her name, but I won't. And I said, if you came back to Apollo Baptist now, you wouldn't recognize anybody. She said, why is that? I said, well, I think there's only about one Apolloian person that goes there now. It's mostly people that's come in. She said, oh, that's interesting. And I said, but I got your name on a seat there. I said, there's a seat reserved, ready for you to come back. And she said to me, yeah, never say no. Never say no. You know, it's just witnessing to somebody, isn't it? And just saying to them, hey, you know, there's a welcome for you if you come along. I didn't say, how are you getting on with the Lord? Are you having your quiet time? Are you, you know, doing this? I just said, you know, if you want to come along, there's a seat there ready for you. And that's witnessing and telling people. And perhaps you come. Can I tell you another story? I'd rather tell stories than go on again. I read a lovely story. And this, you may find this helpful. If I've told it to you, somebody say stop, and I will. But this man went to his minister, and he said to his minister, I'm praying for the man next door. I've been praying for him for years that he'd be converted, but he doesn't even speak to me. You know, I don't think the Lord's ever going to answer my prayer. And I just can't see how he is. And the minister said, well, there's your problem. Because you're praying for something that you don't believe that God can answer. He said, why don't you start praying for something that God can answer? So he said, what do you mean? Well, why don't you just pray, Lord, will you give me the opportunity to introduce myself to the next door neighbour? And so he started praying that. And the next door neighbour came out one morning and spoke to him over the fence. And he went back to the minister and he said, yes, he said, he spoke to me. He said, well, you believed that, didn't you? He said, yes. He said, well, why don't you pray that you may just get to know him a little bit more? Do you believe God can do that? And he said, yes, I do. And so he prayed, and the man got talking to him over the fence, and he got to know him a bit more. And then he went to the minister, and he told him again, he said, well, pray a bit more, what you can believe. What can you believe? Can you believe that you can have a cup of tea together, or a cup of coffee? And one morning the man said, why don't you come over the fence and come and sit and have a cup of coffee? And he did, and they got this relationship going. And he went back to the minister, and he said, you know, I've had coffee with him. He said, well, no, you pray that perhaps he asks you something about the Lord Jesus. And he said, he prayed along those lines. And he said, they were having coffee one morning, and the man looked up and he said, do you know, I've noticed that on Sunday mornings, you and your wife dress up smart and go off somewhere. Where do you go? So he said, well, we go to church. He said, well, can I come with you one week? And he said, yes, of course you can. I'd love to take. And you know, that man became a Christian. Isn't that wonderful? You see, because he was praying and praying, and he believed the prayer that he was saying. And you can do that too when you make disciples. You don't have to go out and grab somebody, and you just gently say to them and pray for them and gradually bring them into the kingdom. Now, where have I gone to? Right. So, go in, let's see, we're making new disciples. What did I got for here? To obey the commands that I've given to you. Share the gospel with people. Not leaving them to figure it out, but walking with them in their Christian lives. And day by day, on a basis, helping them and encouraging them. Making disciples when you walk through life with people. Showing one another how to pray. That's so important, you know. Showing one another how to pray, how to study, most of all how to grow in Christ, and how for them to witness and to lead other people and become disciples. And in the back of their minds, having that goal and make disciples. Isn't that wonderful? So, what have I got? Oh yes, I know what I was going to say to you. How do you make a person a disciple? Well, you can sit down, put them in a classroom, you can sit them down and you can go through what Jesus taught, and You can explain it to them and you may not get anywhere with them. Let me give you another example. And I'm going to soon finish, so don't worry. You know, Carolyn and I, or myself, I don't know which you want, we love France. We love France. And we, for the last 8 years, would go off to France with our caravan for 4, 5, 6 weeks, you know. And I think France is the most beautiful country there is. And do you know, I've been to France, and I spent time with France, in France, but I can't speak a word of French. Do you know? It just doesn't make sense to me. I've tried. I've bought books. I even bought one that said, learn French in 20 minutes. How was that? But I've got a friend who lives in Geneva. No, not Geneva School where we went, but the real Geneva. And he's a Frenchman. And he married an English girl. And he speaks perfect English. And his wife speaks perfect French, actually. And I was talking to him about this. And he said, you're like my mother-in-law. She can't speak a word of French. She's tried everything, but somehow she can't do it. He said she can read it, and I said, yeah, if somebody gives me some French written down, I can usually, after a while, work out what it is, you know. That's why I use Google Translate a lot, you know, and then take it along to people and say, this is what I want. But anyhow, and he said, unless you've got that little bit of sort of gift in you, to understand languages, you never will speak French. And I haven't got it, you see. I just haven't got that little thing. I could go to French lessons week in, week out, but I don't think I would ever be able to speak French. It's like playing the piano, you know. You can have piano lessons, and you can play the piano, you can be taught all about the piano, but you'll never make a pianist. Because you haven't got that little touch of music in you, inside you. And it's the same with being a Christian. You can tell people all about the Lord Jesus, but unless the Spirit of God quickens their lives, unless the Spirit of God quickens them, they will never, ever understand it, be able to put it into action. The Bible calls it quickening. It just means alive. The Spirit of God making us alive. And that's what the Spirit of God wants to do in people's lives. It wants to make them alive so that they can become disciples. So it means something. And you can grow in Christ. Well, I'm going to finish because I keep to the hour. Just to finish, and I promise this is the last. It says here, make disciples and baptize. And being baptized is a part of being a disciple. Okay? It's part of being a disciple. The act of baptism should be included in the discipling of new believers. It's following the teachings of Jesus. And it pleases God when he sees his children following and obeying his word, following Jesus, being baptized. It's one of the most precious services you can go to. Next Sunday morning, we are off to Exeter because our young granddaughter is going to be baptized. Gosh. And she's 14. She said she wants to be baptized. She wants to follow Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So you've got to do. Now, you're going to say to me, I'm saying to you, you've got to go out and preach this week. Do you know the biggest sermon that you will ever preach? It's your life. Okay? And if people can see that your life ties up with what you believe, that's the biggest sermon that you can preach this week. gosh, I can finish. Okay, our last hymn is the old one, and it reminds me of school, but it's a beautiful hymn. It's, "O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end."